Oh my God, dude. I finally watched
what?
Oh God, of course I forgot what it's called.
Must have been really good.
Oh, Talk to Me.
But that's the one that got like all those like rave reviews.
Gosh, dude.
It's like is it A24?
It is definitely A24, but I think Dan was saying that it's like these two Australian guys that were like YouTubers that did like stunt coordination and weird. like action sequences or something. I don't remember what he said exactly, but I'll have to look into it. I just didn't have enough time. But dude, it's been a long time that I felt like this. I mean, it spooked the heck out of me. There's like some like oof, like
gore
makes you
stuff?
Cringe because of the physical aspect of it, but then also just like it's just really good, dude. Plus it's in Australia, so I love it already. Mm-hmm. Everybody's, you know, got the cool accent. It's so freaky, dude. Oh my gosh, man.
And so that
just like the way it ends and everything, it was very well done. Good storytelling.
And that's the one that's like basically kind of like a slightly like a Ouija board kind of thing.
Kind of. So basically, without giving any spoilers, the premise is there are these kids, I'd say like mixed ages adolescents, okay? So like teenagers, but some like maybe old enough for college, but around like high school age, and or just, you know, older than that. Mm-hmm. They go to these parties, and at the party, there's this like it looks like some sort of like wooden hand artifact thing. Mm. And I remember this in the trailer that like they're like telling her, you know, you just grab the hand. So basically you like kind of as if you're going to shake the hand.
Monkey's paw.
And you say something and then it basically goes from there. There's like a spiritual experience involved. Mm. So freaky, dude.
Man, that's cool.
But I really loved it. I really did. It made me feel weird afterwards, which you can always, those A24 movies typically do.
Yeah. Sometimes for good, sometimes for
Yeah. I mean, this one, there's some like, oh man, I think I might be just getting a little too old for this kind of like emotions and stuff. But it was very good, dude. I highly recommend it. You should watch it.
I still haven't finished it, but that new Adam Sandler, is it Spaceman?
Something like that, yeah. Is it good?
Dude, it is. Again, I wasn't able to finish it because our life is now soccer. So there's that. But yeah, I mean, it's really bizarre. And I do like seeing Adam Sandler. I mean, you know, as a kid growing up in the 80s and 90s, you know, we have sort of a fondness for Adam Sandler. But his, like in Uncut Gems, his like more dramatic roles are, man, he really is good. And I've never seen him look so bad than he does in this movie.
Really? Oh, yeah. And I think you were saying that the other night, and I feel bad saying that because maybe that's just...
Yeah.
How he looks now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, it's kind of one of the aspects of the movie. I'm not spoiling anything, but it's like he... But it does look like he hasn't slept in like years. Like he looks really rough. So, yeah. And there's a really creepy aspect to it, but go ahead.
Welcome to the show. Howdy, folks, and welcome back to another episode of your favorite podcast, That Would Be Rad, a podcast that majors in 80s and 90s nostalgia, comic culture, all things paranormal, and minors in retro video games, tabletop RPGs, pre-internet mysteries, and raising our kids to be half as cool as we were back in the 80s. We are your hosts, Woody Brown.
And Tyler Bentz.
What's up, man?
Hey, dude. How we doing?
Doing good. You know, finally. I feel bad because sometimes we have certain listener stories that we're like, okay, I categorized this one for later in the year, or I've got this one, and this one is one that I actually wanted to talk about a couple weeks ago, and I promised that we would get to it this week.
Yeah.
And so here we are.
Let's get into it.
Okay. Now, first, I got to say, man, anytime we get an email and there's a story that goes along with it, you know, I'm already just like amped up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So anytime that we just get an email in general from people that we don't necessarily know, and they took the time and, you know, I don't know, sometimes it's probably a little nerve-wracking reaching out to people what am I trying to say here? Like reaching out to people that you listen to but don't really know, you know, it could be nerve-wracking.
Yeah, so, never meet your heroes.
Yeah, yeah. We take that stuff extremely seriously, and we're super appreciative of it, and it's also extremely exciting for us. So needless to say, when we got this email, I was like, oh, man. So this comes from a listener out in California named Dylan. And I'm going to read a little bit of just sort of like the intro before we get into the story because, I mean, this guy knows how to start it off right, okay?
Okay.
He says, my name is Dylan. I'm from California, and I'm sending you this message for two reasons. Number one, your show is amazing. I love it, and it's the best. I mean, we could stop the show right there.
Yeah, thanks for coming by, guys.
That's it.
Yeah.
I love it already. And he said, two, I want to share a personal experience that occurred in 2014 that revolves around time travel in the form presented in Christopher Nolan's Interstellar.
Mm-hmm.
So here you go. He says, my friend Andrew and I had just graduated from Chico State University. And to celebrate, we wanted to go on a big trip. We chose New Zealand because we both love Lord of the Rings. And that was basically the only reason. I hear you, man. I'm going to break out real quick. Gorgeous scenery.
Oh, yeah. Right by the water.
Beautiful mountains. Mm-hmm. Elvish women running around.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on to say, while we were there, we rented rooms from this young couple, Harrison and Natalie, who had a house on the outskirts of Dunedin on the Otago Peninsula. We were gone on road trips most of the time, but one weekend when we were home, the four of us decided to go see the new movie that had just come out, Interstellar. Naturally, our minds were blown, and we were all speechless on the way home from the theater. When we got back to the house, we sat down in the living room and finally got to discussing the movie, particularly the crazy aspects of time dilation and Matthew McConaughey's character interacting with the past while inside the black hole. We speculated wildly about whether such things could really happen. Of course, we had no real answers, but we did have one thing. The ability to experiment. So, we all put our hands in the middle like freaking Power Rangers and said, if any of us ever, throughout the course of our whole existence, has the opportunity to time travel or interact with the past, we will return to this moment, right now, and do something. Once agreed, we sat back, closed our eyes, and sat silently with the intention. And I shit you not, 2 seconds later, the portraits and paintings that were hanging in the adjacent hall came crashing to the floor. Glass went everywhere. There were no earthquakes, we checked, and also didn't feel anything. There were no pets or other people in the house to cause vibrations or prank us. The house wasn't a duplex, so it's not like the neighbors could have bumped into the wall or something. There was no loud bang preceding the fall or anything anyway. The frame seemed to have simply flown off the wall. Or dare I say, were pushed off the wall. We were in shock, but also stoked because as far as we could tell, it worked. So yeah, it was crazy and super cool, but to this day, I have no explanation. I like to believe it was totally real and not just some awesome coincidence, but who knows? My question to you guys is whether or not you've heard of any similar instances in this vein. It could be a UFO situation or perhaps a ghostly one or something like this exactly, but generally just the idea that a person could be or is interacting with their past or future self, indirectly or otherwise. And he signs it off with, dun, dun, dun.
Man, that's awesome.
Man, yeah, that's insane because it kind of relates to what I was talking about before we really got going with that movie. Oh, God, I already forgot the name of it.
Talk to Me.
Talk to Me, that's it. You know, that sort of unique group experience kind of puts it to like a next level, right? Because if you're by yourself, I think your mind can sort of start to rationalize, oh, well, it was probably this, or this, you know? When it's a group experience, or at least more than one person other than yourself, it somehow, man, it really is scarier because then you're like, wait, you heard that too? Yes. Huh? And then when it's something physical, like objects flying off the wall, crashing into the floor, it's just bizarre, man.
And the debunkers are always just going to say that it's mass hypnosis or mass hysteria, which is equally nuts.
Yeah, right. I mean, so we've always said that we're going to do an episode specific to really digging in and defining the concepts of mass hysteria and stuff like that. Because like, I mean, if I was skeptical, I would be skeptical of all of it, right? Equally, I'm not really skeptical of all of it. I'm interested in all of it, you know? And so
I said I thought it was interesting.
I'm interested in that concept and how it could be possible psychologically, you know? I do agree that, you know, the example that I use all the time with probably you, but certainly like Anne, is, you know, early morning walking with my son. And the first time we ever went out, there's this giant rock on top of this hill. And with my headlamp and everything, I'm not joking, man. Both of us were like, what is that thing, man? And I was like, it looks like a beast, you know?
It's a monster.
And so we now call it Beast Rock because both of us agreed, hey, that looks like a beast. So that's like a light version of what they're talking about. But when people are like, yeah, I saw it too, man, this big silver thing came and landed. You know, there's a couple famous UFO incidents where school children have witnessed something.
The Aria school.
Yeah, like there's all these kind of situations. So this one specifically, though, it's like, what do you think, man? Do you think it just so happened to be that maybe their future selves were able and capable of, you know, remembering that moment and then traveling back to that moment right then? Was it a poltergeist? Was it some crazy New Zealand monster? I can't do it. And I'm not going to.
Monster? No, that's sort of British. Yeah, I think it's cool. I mean, even if you do take sort of the time aspect out of it, it's, you know, something that we've talked about for years on the show is like, well, maybe it was because of all of their like intention was so focused on like this like possible event happening. So like maybe it was some type of poltergeist, but you know, it was clearly like caused by them kind of thing. Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, because it opens up the door to a lot of different things. Like,
oh yeah,
if poltergeists or ghosts or whatever exist, and they have the capability to not only sort of hear us, understand what we're saying, and then follow any course of, I mean, there's just a ton of stuff. Now it's given it ability to move physical objects,
yeah,
and do so in a way that's like a trickery. For them to think, oh man, that's just our former selves. Well, then, like, what's its intention? Or is it something like it's just a frustrated ghost that's trying to get the attention of these folks, and it just so happened to coincide with them having another intention, which was, you know, for their future selves to interact with them. And instead, it's just like, no, I'm right here. You know, I don't know. It's just, you can go in all these loops, but anyway, no matter what, Dylan.
Or something that we kind of talked about, it was a few episodes back where we're talking about like the spiritualist movement and the idea that we'd never really thought of until that episode, where maybe because of this, you know, this intense level of like intention or whatever, maybe, you know, another being or another person living within another dimension is able to sort of hear that or see what's going on. So they're like, oh, it's cool, I'll go get it. And like, and you know, then in our reality, we're seeing like this thing float across the room, when in reality, it's like, you know, Jerry from the 405 dimension, like grabbing this thing and like carrying it across the room, but we don't see Jerry. We just see the object.
Well, I mean, is Jerry just like waiting around and, oh, somebody said something about something. Going there. Boom. Knocks the pictures off the wall. I mean, it could be. To me, it might even be something like, I mean, this might be bearing your lead a little bit here.
Uh-oh.
But to me, it seems like it's something not necessarily like Jerry that's just like waiting across all dimensions for someone to maybe potentially mention something. But then if you think
like the
of
dimensional
it.
Dimensional butler.
Yeah. Yeah. Interdimensional. Oh, God. What was the guy? Mr. Belvedere.
Yo, that's perfect. Yeah. On the China,
never met it before. No, like.
Jerry Belvedere.
A thought that I had is like, okay, well, let's just pretend, or not pretend, let's just, for the sake of argument, make the agreement that we're living in a simulation.
You son of a...
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
It's a pretty cool place. If you're a Martian.
Or a vampire. Or a vampire.
You think you really know what's happening around here, don't you? Don't you?
Is anyone out there?
We're fighters for truth, justice, and the American way.
Hey, this is Woody.
And this is Tyler. And you're listening to That Would Be Rad.
And now, back to our show.
All right, so after hearing Woody tell me a while back about Dylan's story of his group of Mighty Morphin Power Ranger interdimensional poltergeist commanders, it inspired me to, you know, start looking around and seeing if anything else like that happened. Also, from time to time, I like to go on the wide world of Reddit and look into these glitch in the matrix stories because I think they're fascinating. And like all things, you know, we, especially when it's stories or events taken from like online forums, look, we realize that they could all be fake, but they're still fascinating. And there is still the possibility that some of them could be true. And so we like to sort of suspend our disbelief and look at these things like, you know, with the wide-eyed wonder of a small child. And yeah, that's what we're going to do today. So we're going to get into some of these that I found pretty interesting. And this one in particular kind of reminded me of Dylan's story as far as like the, you know, the time travel sort of aspect. So here it goes. Could time travel be a natural phenomenon? My experience in Washington's Cascade Mountains. I've always loved the outdoors. I was fortunate enough to be born in the Great Pacific Northwest, the Western Washington Cascades to be exact. My father and I spent much of my early years of life exploring the mountains, fishing, and hunting. There are parts of the Cascades I know like the back of my hand. One of those places is called Goblin Creek. I mean, already, bro. Goblin Creek.
I mean,
you know, it's like it's setting these places up to have weird, yeah. you know, activity.
Wait, let me just, sorry, I don't want to upend it already, but I'm just saying, would you decide to not move to an area if it was like, you know, I don't know, man. Goblin Street. Well, it wouldn't be Goblin Street. Who are we kidding? But I mean, something like that. If you if you were about to move into a brand new place,
Elm Street,
and they're like, "Oof, yeah, see,
what about that,
huh?"
I mean, I see a lot of Elm Streets.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't live there. Would you live there? I'm not that superstitious, but I'm a little stitious.
Little stitious, yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
Okay, keep going, man. I don't know.
All right, one of those places is called Goblin Creek up the Index Gullyima Road off Highway 2. When I was a kid, we would drive up there and do some fishing and shooting, but also to collect a specific type of rock that, when cut in half and polished, would resemble a scenic picture of the view of the mountains from within a cave. Probably a geode. I do not recall the true name of the stones. We just called them picture rocks.
Hmm.
Wow. My father's friend and neighbor owned an art gallery mineral shop that used to be a church. If you have ever driven through Startup on your way from Sultan to Gold Bar on Highway 2, you might remember seeing the robot sculpture outside the shop that my dad built. This is the place that we sold the stone for $2 a pound. It was a lucrative revenue for a preteen. The walk from the creek where we harvested these rocks to the dirt road wasn't particularly long, but lengthy enough that we could presumably get lost while en route if one didn't know where to go. In the years we spent at this creek, I'd only ever seen two other people out there. One was a game warden that heard the gunshots from our target practicing session and tracked us down to make sure everything was fine. The other is the subject of my curiosity. When I was about 14, I distinctly remember hauling a backpack full of these rocks up from the creek to my dad's truck. Along the way, I ran into a man that looked to be about 30 years old. We both appeared to be surprised that we would run into anyone in this rather remote section of the mountains. But as I got closer to this man, he was heading down to the creek and I was heading up to the road. He seemed to grow increasingly more startled, as if he was seeing a ghost. He didn't say anything as I passed. He just stared at me, seemingly trying to figure out the appropriate words to ask me. After passing him, I remember thinking how much the guy looked like he could be in my family. The similarities were striking. I continued on to the truck, dumping my load of rock off of the truck, and headed back down to the river with my dad. Or to my dad. When I arrived, I told him about the encounter and asked him if he had seen this man, to which he replied that he hadn't. I remember this encounter quite vividly ever since. Last year, I was visiting my family in Snohomish and decided to head up to Old Goblin Creek for nostalgic purposes. I think we already know where this is going. It had been about 15 years since I was last up there. Along the way up there, I found out that the Index Gullyima Road had apparently washed out years before. Luckily, I knew of another way up there via Jack Pass. I found the dirt road and parked where my dad used to park and proceeded to walk along through the woods down to the creek. Along the way, I saw something that absolutely shook me to the core. As I was about halfway through the woods, I was startled to see someone else coming up from the creek. A boy, about 14 years old. He was wearing a backpack that looked to be burdened by heavy weight. As we got closer, I began to get increasingly confused and shocked as the boy looked exactly like I did at this stage. What? I meant to say something to him as he passed, but could not figure out the right words to express what I was thinking at the moment. He passed me and kept going. I walked a little ways and finally stopped when it all really hit me. I remembered the encounter from my teenage years and realized I had just lived the other half of the experience. Both the man and the boy were me, roughly 15 years removed. I turned around to catch up to the boy in the thick western Washington woods. I ran all the way back up to the road where my truck was to find nothing. There wasn't anywhere else besides the road for him to go to, and I hadn't stalled so long as to not be able to catch up to him. He was simply gone. Vanished. Curiosity got the best of me, so I hurried down the creek, half expecting to find my dad fishing on the bank 15 years younger, but found nobody. I ended up going home and deciding that this experience was too unbelievable to tell even my friends and family. I just wanted to get this out there to a wonderful Reddit community to see what others think and hopefully to see if anyone else has this type of experience as well.
Jeez, man.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, there's like elements of Flight of the Navigator in there.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah.
And just as you were, you know, reading this, I'm like, well, let's just make sure this person's even in the slightest sort of trustworthy. And there really is a Goblin Creek in Washington. There's also like a Goblin Mountain, and I'm not sure just yet if it's the same, you know, same area or whatever. But not to be confused with Goblin Valley, which is in Utah. And if you look up pictures of that place, I thought that was what we're talking about here, but different. But they look, it's a different part of the country here. But
right.
Wow. It looks like a pretty awesome place. But man, alive. I mean, I always wonder too, you know, you see these movies where people see their younger selves or older self. And, you know, there's... Sure, there's like some sort of element of recognition, but I mean, I guess the older version would always be able to recognize the younger version, of course, but like, would you though? I mean, like, I always wonder about that stuff. Would you not just kind of, would your own mind sort of shut that ability down so that your mind doesn't just explode on the spot? You know what I mean? As some sort of defense mechanism? I mean.
Well, I do think how he responded by... just being so sort of like crossed up that he didn't, he had nothing to say. Like he couldn't, you know, he was just completely sort of scrambled that like he didn't even say anything to the boy. And I think
it's kind of like that time that I met Jay-Z and I just went, sup. Jeez, so embarrassing. Keep going.
Or that time that I met Pete Yorn.
Hey, Pete.
And then was just crushed because then he looked at his manager.
Like, get this guy out of here, man.
Who is this guy? man. I think that's pretty fascinating. It does feel, it's well written. It does, you know, I mean, it could be totally fake. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. There are some aspects to this that feel very organic in the sense of like, it would be how I imagine someone would respond in those situations.
Yeah.
You know, it also reminds me of, I mean, a lot of these stories do the same, but it reminds me of that one that we've mentioned on the show numerous times, and I can never figure out where I read it. It was either, I feel like it was maybe a listener stories from like Jim Harold's campfire, like 20 years ago or something, where it's the story that, you know, like I said, we've talked about a ton of times, but it's the story where the lady, when she was a child, she remembers her and her, I believe it was like her and her sister playing in a room, and then the door opens and like a woman walks in and it like frightens her, and then the woman like disappeared, and they always thought it was a ghost. Mm. And then later in their life, when their mom or dad passed away and you know, the house was like being transferred over to someone else.
Yeah.
They were in there like cleaning up the house. And her, as an older lady, goes in because she hears something in like the side dining room or something, goes and like swings open the door. And there's like two little, like look like sort of terrified girls on the floor playing with like a board game or playing with something. And then they vanish. And it's, you know, it's that like sort of grandfather paradox or whatever kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like Clay, I think, submitted maybe even the first listener story that we had during our Halloween the very first Halloween Spooktacular special, where he kind of had a similar experience.
You're talking about the dream one?
Well, no, like he remembers seeing like he heard like some noises or something. And I can't recall it exactly right now on the spot, but listeners, I highly encourage you, if you haven't gone back and listened to not only every one of our Halloween Spooktacular specials, but that one in particular is awesome. Yeah, something like he remembers seeing somebody in his room. He like woke up and he saw somebody like standing there and he's like freaked out. And then like later in his life, he remembers like hearing something and he goes into the room and he sees somebody in there. I mean, that kind of stuff, you know.
That's, yeah.
Hear more about this rad strangeness on That Would Be Rad, Season 1, Episode 10, The Halloween Spooktacular.
I think that stuff's fascinating.
But I mean, I know it's not stone tape theory, but like, what would that be? Some sort of like time loop that you experience as an individual?
Well, so I would like to just get through some of these and then maybe...
Oh, my bad.
maybe at the end, then we sort of give what we think about it and kind of have like a breakdown.
I guess maybe I'm just kind of dumbfounded and just not used to you actually being organized. And so I just didn't know which direction you wanted to go, but I do agree with you. Go ahead.
Okay. Woke Up in the Wrong Town is the title of this next one. Yesterday morning, a few guys from work and myself left Denver, Colorado for Rawlins, Wyoming on a two-day business trip. We had met up at work and carpooled in a company car taking I-25 to I-80 and got to the hotel in Rawlins in the early afternoon. I do not like Rawlins at all, but a very important client operates there, and every once in a while, a few of us drive out there and do these circle meetings with him.
Oof. I mean, can we? I mean...
Okay, I'll just change that. I do not like Rawlins at all, but a very important client operates there, and every once in a while, a few of us drive out there to do these meetings with him and his management team. Nothing was different about the drive out. It was just the same boring landscapes, taking us to the same hotel as always.
Hey, welcome to the hotel. I'm so excited to check
in. What brings me to this subreddit is what happened this morning. I woke up in La Junta, Colorado. I went to bed in my hotel in Rawlins last night, and this morning I woke up to my alarm and nearly had a panic attack when I realized I didn't recognize the room I was in. I jumped out of bed and saw my suitcase lying on the floor, half unpacked, and I saw in the mirror that I was wearing what I went to bed in. I was about to use the room phone to call the front desk when I saw the address printed on it, La Junta, Colorado. At this point, I had to sit down on the floor and just breathe because I'm fairly certain that I had some kind of panic attack, or maybe I went into shock. The next thing I really remember is my cell phone ringing. I answered it, and it was one of the guys that I'd driven to Rawlins with. He wanted to know where the hell I was, and he reminded me the meeting was in 30 minutes. I asked him where he was, and he said the parking lot. So I asked him what town, and he said, "What the hell, man? We're in La Junta." At this point, I went into autopilot. I got ready quickly, met my coworkers in the parking lot, and went to the meeting. It was the guy who I know that is from Rawlins, but his company is now, for some reason, in La Junta. The management team was all different, but the head guy and the company were the same. I'm in my hotel room right now, more terrified than I've ever been in my life. I tried talking to my girlfriend about it on the phone, but even she remembers me having to travel to La Junta to meet this guy. I'm absolutely, completely sure I drove to Rawlins yesterday, and that this company is based in Rawlins. I don't use Reddit much anymore, but after searching the web all evening for some kind of answer to what the hell is happening to me, I found this sub. Has anyone experienced something like this? Can anyone explain?
Man,
that's crazy.
I mean, the first thing that I thought of was like, man, I wish we had like an 800 number, like a hotline. Because they would say, hey, man, we think you're from Tarid.
The man from La Junta.
Yeah, I'm curious on a couple different things. I wanted to make sure I understood correctly. So, he doesn't like going to Rawlins, Colorado. He knows this company is headquartered there. He's got this meeting he's already kind of rolling his eyes about. And he gets there, checks in the hotel, wakes up the next day, La Junta. Or now maybe Hotel in Rawlins, Colorado. Like, is this guy, there's one or two things happening here. And I don't want to make this person feel bad. Sounds to me like he might be having a little bit of what, you know, people like to call, dementia, which is an interesting name if you really think about it.
Yeah.
And it's sad.
Oh, by the way,
This
is way off topic, but I do have to rectify something that you said and something that the listener said on the previous comment. That was the night that all the weird stuff happened at my house.
Didn't put batteries in.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because the batteries that I was talking about are batteries that you have to charge that are specific to the ring cameras.
Okay.
So it's not just like double A's or 9 volts. Mm-hmm. I just needed to clear that up because I for sure would have known to do that, but you know, you have to charge them for like hours.
I don't remember my dad's.
So suck it, listener.
Phrase that he always used. Excuses are like holes. Everybody's got one.
Okay.
Anyway, keep going, man. Oh, no, no, no. What I was going to say is this guy, I mean, first, the part of the reason why I would be flipping out if I was in his shoes would be I would literally think it's happening to me. You know, I've had family members who suffered from dementia, and so I would 100% think this is the beginning of that because especially, you know, before we started this show, that's where I would have gone. Now I'm more like, I mean, did this guy like accidentally shift into an alternate dimension somehow?
Yeah, it's so funny. And I'm so glad that you sort of phrased it like that because on our first season, I had a missing time story where I'm working at the hospital in the OR. And just a refresher, I mean, you got to listen to the episode because it is pretty fascinating.
Hear more about Tyler's rad missing time experience on That Would Be Rad, Season 1, Episode 4, The Man from Tared.
But I will say, after it all happened, I did kind of go through sort of an existential crisis for about a week or two where I just felt like everything that we... you begin to feel like everything that you can, you know, quote unquote, like count on in life, like your sort of things that are sort of foundational to your existence, foundational to like reality, are maybe not so sturdy.
Yeah, it's gonna be weird.
It's super weird, and like you really do start questioning everything. Like, oh, is like what's happening? Am I, you know, do I have a brain tumor? Do I have this? Like it? You start going down the list of things. So yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think I'm sure that's probably exactly what happened with the guy.
Another piece where I should say detail about this story that I found fascinating was and I could have been wrong, but the way I interpreted it whenever you read it was that he was literally typing this from the hotel.
Right, right.
That's cool. It was kind of happening and going down, which is unique. You know, a lot of times, a lot of these are like, hey, this happened to me years ago or when
months
I was
ago,
a kid or whatever. This was like a real-time sort of situation, which is fascinating. Now, were there any comments like from that specific story that anybody was like, oh, yeah, I've had that, or were people like, you sound crazy, man?
No, I mean, just the, you know.
Just the normal stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with the good and bad thing about Reddit is, number one, you get a lot of these stories, and it is sort of a very anonymous place. So I think it allows people to, you know, feel safe enough to tell these stories that, you know, would probably get them laughed out of the room, you know, in real life. Like all the normies would be like, oh, you're an idiot. You're just lying kind of thing. However, the flip side of that is that, you know, you do get like just constant trolls like, hey, man, if you wanted to skip work, all you had to do was this.
Oh, that's like, hilarious, yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is one of that specifically, like I said, the only, you know, as quote-unquote enlightened as I am about all the various possibilities of things nowadays, I got to say, the first thing that would pop into my mind is, I've gone crazy. Because, like, there's that aspect of, like, I know for a fact, 100%, it's like... It reminds me kind of in a more humorous way of when Dwight was tricked by, so Jim tricks Dwight on the Office by replacing like every single family photo with like one of his best friends who's like this Asian guy. And
it
takes the prank to the next level when Pam like comes in and she's got like a little baby that's, you know, and they kiss and stuff. And it's like that. Sort of ripple in your own reality. If something that you've known for years and years and years, yeah, man, that's got to be debilitating.
Yeah, for sure.
And scary. I mean, it's scary on a whole other level, man.
Yeah, because it is like one of those things where we do, however, but, you know, we're a very small sort of niche club here. But, I mean, I feel for the most part, like your everyday people who, you know, they go to work, they come home, they watch the news, they go to bed. Like it's very... There's not a lot of like, you know, what does this all mean? Like, what is the meaning of life? Like, you know, they're not really ever having these sort of moments where they're questioning these things and looking into the more sort of weird kind of aspects of life. And so I think especially when these things happen to those people, it's just like, I mean, it's almost like traumatizing, I would imagine, you know? Like for me, like when it happened to me, like, you know, again, like I've been into this stuff for a long time and, you know, I mean, this was so many years ago and it was like Darkness Radio, Jim Harold's paranormal podcast, Jim Harold's Campfire, which I actually called and left that story on that show. So there's an episode out there somewhere where I tell my story because that, again, like we didn't have Reddit. So like that was my only way of doing it. And I literally called so that, you know, I mean, kind of like me telling my orb story on here. It's like the only reason that I did that is I was hoping that somebody would provide like, oh, well, this happened to me too. Because you start thinking like, well, like, am I losing it? Like, am I going crazy? Anyway, when all that happened in the hospital, I knew about missing time. I knew about the sort of the simulation idea. It wasn't nearly as big or prominent as it is now, but you know, I was kind of into all that stuff. But I mean, even that, it was still just like, whoa, this is happening to me now.
Right. It's almost like crowdsourcing some solutions or some possibilities just kind of helps you through that almost like mental, like you're just like, you're just like, it's almost like there's a, like a gridlock, right? Because you've got this like truth and reality that you've known for X amount of time. And then somehow if that gets shattered, well, like how do you get past that? And so that, I think that's the one cool thing about the internet in a way is, and just like the way that we can communicate with others. Even, you know, Dylan mentioned that, you know, being able to share these types of experiences with people really helps because then it's like, oh, you know, wow, okay, there's other people, or someone might come up with a new idea or theory or, you know, even perspective that you might not have thought of, which is cool.
Yeah, dude, I can't wait for you to hear this next one. It really plays into that whole simulation theory idea.
We'll return after these messages.
America's future can be determined by our dreams and our visions.
It was very intense, bright light.
For over 200 years, there have been reports of giant man-like creatures.
From another dimension, another world, I don't know.
The most intriguing mystery on the North American continent.
This is Joshua Cutchin, and you're at my home for weirdness. That would be rad.
Real life non-playable character fails to load. Is the title. I met a girl at uni, and after uni, which is university, we decided we'd move in with each other. The plan was whoever got a job first would pay the rent, etc., while the other looked for a job in the same city. I got the job, and we moved into a small house together. Months later, she's still having no luck finding a job.
Freeloading.
I feel like crap one day, which is unusual for me, and come home from work extremely early, before lunch, in through the front door and look into the lounge and see her just ... sitting there. The TV isn't on, or the radio, and she's just staring straight ahead, not even moving. I stood there and watched her for a while out of curiosity. I'm sure everyone wonders what their partners or friends do when they think no one is around. She, however, did nothing. Just stared dead ahead. The closest I can describe it is like an older computer game where you'd go into a room and an NPC hadn't noticed you yet and would still be just standing there waiting for you to get in to activate them. We'd had a fight the night before, so I just shook my head and went off to bed. At around 4, I got up to go downstairs again and she's still there, staring dead ahead. At which point, I obviously worry and try to get her attention. Nothing I did, even shaking her or shouting, would wake her up from whatever it was. So I called my dad. He's a dentist, but knows a lot about medicine generally, and asked him what I should do. He says he'll be there in about 20 minutes and to keep an eye on her till then.
Your dentist's name, Crentist?
Around 4:30, she suddenly gets up, goes into the kitchen, and starts doing chores, washing up and getting tea, etc. I follow her and watch before asking her if she's okay, and she says she's fine, pretty casually, like nothing had ever happened. I ask her what she'd been up to that day, and she launched into this long explanation of how she'd gone out job hunting and where she'd gone and managers she had spoken to that day. It was really creepy. I told her what had actually happened, and she looked at me oddly like I was the crazy one, insisted that she had been out job hunting and had only just gotten back. I told her I wasn't judging her, and it was fine that she hadn't been out job hunting, but I was worried, and she had definitely been sitting there all day. My dad came around and suggested she may have been having an absent seizure, which is a type of epilepsy. She had scans, etc., and nothing showed up. No tumors either. And since she didn't believe my story, things got pretty tense between us. Especially because after possibly having an absent seizure, she had been banned from driving for a year. That sucks. Over the next 6 months, before we broke up, I did some pretty odd things to try and prove what had happened, including booking days off work without telling her and then pretending to go to work, only to park around the corner, come home sneakily, and then observe her. A lot of the time, I'd find her standing there doing nothing again. But when I asked her about it, she'd still have these long explanations of what she'd done all day. It happened so often that I've kind of got the feeling my girlfriend was only really on when people were around. And when she thought no one was around, she'd just go into a default off state until people got back. Weirdly, some of her stories were backed up. Like, she said she had gone to meet a friend that day, and later when I checked with the friend, she said that it was true. This is the only part I can't really explain to myself, and I've kind of just dismissed it as the friend being nice and just trying to back up her friend. We broke up, and though we're still friends, I haven't mentioned it to her since. It still freaks me out, though. I worry what other people are like when they think no one is around. Is this usual?
Oh, man. I mean, there's a couple things that it makes me think of. Number one, it reminds me of that, maybe the SNL sketch where James Franco, like, plays himself, but he's, like, super obsessed with the Japanese body pillows. And so it's like, what if this guy was just, the whole time, he thought all this stuff about it, but everybody's just kind of like, what if he's the one that everybody's just kind of placating, playing into his fantasy? He thinks this body pillow is really a person. And then that is starting to kind of like, be challenged a little bit, you know, in terms of he just comes home and he's just like, man, this pillow's just, I mean, she's not getting a job. She says she was, and then he goes to the friend's like, hey, did you hang out with, she said that she hung out with you. And the friend's like, oh God. Yeah, man, she sure did. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's weird.
So anyways, that's weird. That is in a way kind of funny too. But another thing it makes me think of is kind of like less like an NPC and more like being able to, what's the movie with Bruce Willis? I think it might be called Surrogates, actually.
Looper.
No, we're not time travel, man. Like, where you can, like, insert your consciousness into a, you know, biological android, essentially. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe in terms of, like, that, so that glitch in the Matrix type thing, maybe she's doing that, but for whatever reason, it's not really working, or, you know, I don't know, man. Maybe she didn't pay her V-Bucks or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that's interesting.
It's weird, man. I think we have a friend that has those types of seizures. And it's just that alone is terrifying to just kind of wake up and not know what just happened. You know, God, it's...
So are those seizures like... Do they have, like, the other components of a seizure, like the tongue thing and, like, all that?
I don't
that?
Know, man. I'm not going to say his name here. And I remember one time he told us about, or he told me about how he was, like, driving down the interstate and just wakes up and his car is just, like, gone off the road, off of an exit ramp, and he doesn't remember anything. One second, I mean, he was driving. Next second, poof.
Wonder if that's what happened with me.
I don't know. It happened to a girl that I dated in college. Same thing, man. She just passed out on 400, man.
God, that's the worst.
The EMTs were there. Luckily, she didn't. She had lightly hit a guardrail, and so it helped to slow the car down.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I do like that idea of, and we've talked about this before, like the simulation almost going into like sort of power save mode. Mm-hmm. So it's sending like all these like NPCs into like a fugue state. So it's not like, it's not burning off like memory, you know?
It's another one of those things too, like even without like removing any of the sort of like rad strangeness from it, mm-hmm. and it just being things like narcolepsy and these kind of seizures and all that stuff fascinates me. Even the fact that like we can feel when our body is like, oh man, I'm so tired, right? Your body as a machine is telling you it needs rest. And I think
there's
some point biologically where you get to a certain point and the body's going to just force the rest on you. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of like those kids that will just like stay up and stay up and stay up and stay up for Christmas. And then like Christmas Eve or Christmas morning, once they finally like, and then just boom, you know, they just knock out. It's that same sort of like thing that, you know, in a way, I think the way he ended it was like, has anybody ever experienced anything like this? And it's like, yeah, we do every day when we sleep, you know? If you think about it in terms of if you could just be a fly on the wall and you're just seeing these like beings just kind of like in this like recharge state. Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird if you kind of like think about it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're all just like, you know, sitting there, laying there.
Oh, it's super weird. I mean, the whole idea of just sleeping in general is odd.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's another one that's pretty interesting as well. And it's entitled, I Think I Called Myself. Which, by the way, this sounds like we had a listener write in where, what was it? Was it like their mom woke them up for school because they were going to be late?
Yeah. No, it was for like a job interview.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, that stuff's so cool. And this one kind of is along this line.
That's a great story, man.
Yeah, that was a great story. I've been reading the stories on the subreddit. Adam enjoyed them, so I thought I would share my own weird story with you guys. It happened in early 2000s when I was working at a juvenile detention center in a small town in Oklahoma as a corrections officer. I was working nights at the time and went to work at 9 p.m. This one night when I arrived for work, my supervisor looked confused and asked me what I was doing there. I said I worked tonight, and he said, but they said you called in a few hours ago saying that you were sick. I was a bit confused and said it must have been someone else and they got the message wrong. After everyone else showed up for work that night, it was a bit more weird, but we carried on as usual and assigned everyone their places for the night. I went to work in the control room where I usually work. The control room is the center of the prison that has direct control over the cameras, doors, phones, and everything. After I relieved the guard on duty and settled in for the night, I looked at the message that said I called in. It said that I had called in at 6:50 and said that I had gotten sick while out cleaning up after the storm. There had been a storm the night before and it was a bit bad, but not anything that I had to go out to cut or clean up. It was truly weird. The supervisor came into the control room about the time. He was also a friend of mine outside of work, and we had started talking about it and how odd it was. I decided to call my wife at home and tell her about it while he was still sitting there. I picked up the phone and dialed. After two rings, a man picked up on the phone and with a raspy voice said, "Hello."
Hello.
I did not know what to say for a few seconds. I looked at the phone to make sure I dialed the right number. And I had. After a few seconds, the person said, "Hello."
Hello.
Again, in the same raspy voice. I said, "Hello, who is this?"
"This is Taylor. Who is this?"
"Who is this?" the person said. My head started spinning because my name is Taylor also. I said in almost a scream, "Where is Anne?" He said,
"Hey,
Anne's in..."
come on, man.
He said, "Anne's in bed. Who is this?" I dropped the phone and told my supervisor to ring me out. I had to get home, and I took off towards the door. I could hear Dave pick up the phone behind me and say, "Hello," followed soon after, "What the f***," rather loudly. I ran to my car and drove home faster than what was legal, my mind racing the entire time. I busted through the door and my wife was sitting watching TV and was shocked at me being home. I asked her who was there, and she said,
"No one has been here. What are you talking about?
After a rather long talk with my wife, I went to call the prison to tell them what was going on, but the phone was dead.
Your service has been temporarily disconnected.
I went back to work, and when I came in, Dave was acting weird and asked me, "How the hell are you doing this?" He told me that when I left, he picked up the phone and the same person on the other end sounded exactly like me. He freaked out and hung up the phone. A minute later, as he could see my car leaving the parking lot, I had called back from home. He said that I was a bit irate and said I was sick and did not feel like playing these games, and was telling him to stop prank calling me, and hung up. After convincing him I had no idea what was going on, we went back to work. Later, I find out that the phone line for my area had been knocked out the night before by the storm. This is absolutely the strangest thing that has ever happened to me.
What? Dude, okay, I just want to make sure I've got all the facts straight here so that I'm on the same page. This guy works at a correctional facility.
Yep.
Apparently before cell phones.
Yes.
Or maybe there's just bad signal there. I guess that was an assumption. But
well, it said it happened in early 2000.
Okay, so there were cell phones, but just like he probably wouldn't have one. Okay.
Yeah.
He's basically having this communication with his other self, and then he finds out at the end of it all that the phone lines weren't even working that day. Now, who rang it though? That's the thing. Like, didn't it ring and then someone called him, or did he call home from the, I don't remember.
Yeah, so it says that he would find out later that his entire area had been knocked out the night before by the storm.
Yeah, I got that part. I'm saying, like, at the very beginning of the story, what does he say about, how did he get to the phone?
That's right. So he said that when he showed up, his boss was already like, "What are you doing here?" Because he had supposedly called in sick.
Yeah, but then why did he end up calling his house?
And then later on, when everybody got settled, he's in the control room. Then the boss comes back in, and they're sort of friends, and he's like, "Look, I'm going to show you." And so he goes to call his wife for her to back him up and be like, "No, what are you talking about?"
Okay, so he's the one placing the call.
Yeah, yeah. So he calls back, and then it's basically him.
Look, man. Well, first, this also reminds me real quick of a personal experience, and that's just that my brother and I have relatively similar voices, and what I would do as the older brother sometimes if we both worked at the same place, for example, Kroger, Abercrombie, whatever, I'd be like, "Dude, I just don't feel like going to work, man. Just call in for me." Right. And he'd be like, "Dude, I'm not doing that." And so we would like trade. Mainly, it would just come down to, "Come on, man, you're the best at it." I mean, I'm just saying, like, that's kind of what it reminded me of as you were talking about it. But then it's like, I don't know. I mean, a lot of these things, like you said up top, who knows if they're true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if experiences like this didn't already kind of exist and had been talked about before, then people wouldn't even be writing about it. You know what I mean? That's how I look at it.
Yeah, right, right.
That's another one of those things, man. My mind, I think they'd have to lock me up, dude. It would take me a long time to recover from something like that. First thought would be, okay, there's some guy over there, and I'm going to destroy it.
Well, to me, like going back to the hospital thing, like, to me, the weirdest part was not the fact that, like, I lost all sort of memory for, you know, like 2 hours. Somehow I'd been doing something for 2 hours. The weirdest thing to me, and this kind of goes back to, you know, the girlfriend who was kind of in, like, you know, power save mode, just staring ahead. I feel like it would have been a lot easier of a pill to swallow if, like, something happened and then I, like, wake up. Because I also tell in that same episode, about the hospital that it had reminded me that I had had a very similar thing happen when I was a kid. And, you know, and I totally go into it on that episode, but I was standing next to a fence on my way to my grandparents' house. And next thing I know, like hours later, I'm sort of coming to and staring up at the sky and I'm on the ground. And so all through my childhood and adulthood, I just assumed, like, either A, I got bucked by or hit by, you know, like kicked by a horse, which we did have a horse in there.
Okay.
But I had no...
That actually explains a lot of other things, but that's... Go ahead.
Sure, yeah. I had no marks. And I mean, if you get kicked by a horse in the head, like...
Well, I mean, but your face is kind of weird looking, so...
Yeah, I mean, I did have... Mm-hmm. I did have to have my nose fixed, but... but there were no marks, or I somehow like touched the electric fence, which I mean, I did that all the time as a kid. Huh?
I buy that.
Yeah, but that's not going to send me into like a, just knock me out.
Well, I mean, you ever seen Jurassic Park?
Yeah, but dude, as a kid, I grew up on a
voltage. Like, the voltage isn't.
Yeah. And I grew up like on farms. So like we were always.
We used to touch them fences all the time.
I mean, we really did.
Just it wasn't dumb. Go ahead.
Like a thing. But those were my two sort of like, oh, well, this is the only two possibilities of what could have happened.
And that's what I was saying earlier, dude.
Oh, well, hold on real quick. So in that, like in like that was like my mind is able to compartmentalize that because it's like, okay, well, something, whatever happened to me, I don't know. I was kind of knocked out and I woke up on the ground coming to. The problem that I have with the hospital thing is during this 2 hour time, I was still walking around, at least enough to walk. Again, I say on the episode, but the whole floor that we're on, the operating room, there's like 23 rooms and it's the size of a football field. So I had walked all the way around to the other side where the equipment was, and I had this like beanbag thing, and I'm just walking around asking like, hey, what room called out that needed the beanbag?
Oh boy.
No. I mean,
everybody's like, good Lord.
No. It's not like a beanbag. That's just what they call it. It's like,
sure.
But that's the thing that it was so difficult for me to wrap my head around is that like, and it's like pretty scary because it's like, well, I don't remember any of this.
And so just basically on autopilot.
Some kind of autopilot. Yeah.
And that's what I was saying earlier, man, when there's no one else there that shared that experience, it becomes even more difficult to, like on one hand, it's easier, I guess, to rationalize that it was something, you know, medical or maybe even psychological that happened.
Right, right.
But on the other hand, there's no one else there to offer any sort of explanation other than that. And even then it's like equally terrifying because why the heck would I just be walking around on autopilot, you know, tossing a freaking hacky sack around, I don't know, man. That's very scary when you add in the element of being able to communicate with whatever else, like in this specific story, this person talking to someone over there, you know, at his house or whatever.
Yeah. And even with mine, it was weird because, you know, I'm pretty conspiratorial. I'm into all this paranormal stuff. So one of the things that was odd about my own story also is that me and another guy are sort of helping move one patient to the other side. The last thing I remember is hearing something on my radio.
And then
I just kind of like look to the door. I just look straight ahead. I don't say anything to anyone. And I just like walk out. Like I'm talking like mid move.
Man on a
mission. Yeah, mid job. Yeah.
It was just like, can we get one of those hacky sacks over here?
Yeah, well, but the thing is like nobody called out. But to me, I remember like hearing like something and Ernie said like, oh, it's just like a noise or something. Like nobody called out. And so I'm going.
Squelch or whatever.
Yeah, but I'm thinking like, oh, was this some kind of like Manchurian candidate like activation noise that made me like a bzzzt, you know? And then, I don't know, it's weird.
We will return after these messages.
Something out there waiting for us. And it ain't no man.
Hey, this is Bryce Johnson from the Bigfoot Collectors Club, and you're listening to Tyler and Woody on That Would Be Rad, because that is rad.
But yeah, that one's a weird one because it's almost like it feels less of like two, like multiple like realities or dimensions with this guy. It feels almost like one dimension's kind of sitting on top of the other one, like at the same time.
I feel like there's tons of stuff going on. It's either alternate dimensions or some sort of rift in time. I mean, I don't know, man. That kind of stuff is just, it's mind blowing. And I'm so like, let's just assume for a second that it's, first off, hats off to the folks if they are creating this sort of creepypasta fan fiction, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. If it's, some of these are like, the writing's pretty good, actually. I would watch it.
Right.
I would read it. But if not, then I know it's got to take a lot of bravery to be able to, thank God there's a place that they can like post this kind of stuff without feeling ostracized or like, you know, even though, like you said, there's going to be commenters, but for the most part, the people that are attracted to those threads are folks like us, you know, that want to hear about that kind of stuff or people that have had similar experiences, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I know it takes a lot of courage to be able to like say that. So hats off to those folks. But you know, I've never experienced anything like that. And like I said, I would think I was having a psychotic break for sure. And I don't say that to make it a sort of a, like a, to have any sort of judgment attached to that. I would just think that that's what is happening, or, you know, early signs of dementia or whatever. Even as open-minded as I am about that, I think I would think personally, oh man. Oof.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's weird. It is cool because like, you know, I think a lot of people get frustrated when they can't, you know, quote unquote, like figure something out or kind of nail it down. Like, but for us, and I mean, this is part of the reason we have the show, like we're okay with not knowing what's happening. We just think it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
I have this other one that's pretty cool too. That's entitled, "You Weren't Supposed to Find This Place." There are a lot of wooden playgrounds in the area that I grew up in. The sort with lots of tunnels, bridges, and towers. You've probably been to one like this near you. Anyway, what some might be considered king of such parks, a 40-foot-tall, 8-story play place called Kids Castle, was about 40 minutes away from my house growing up. On the rare occasion that I got to make the trip, I would spend hours crawling around and exploring the endless tunnels. Seriously, there must have been about 200 or more separate passages, all interconnected by slides of varying length. It was freaking paradise for a kid like me. A lot of other kids I met there would tell me that there were secret passages in the castle. So I spent the majority of the time trying to uncover them. Once, when I was about 10, I think I did. I found one of these secret passages. It's strange, though, the circumstances of my discovery, the place I found, people I met there, and what happened after just don't really make any sense. I had made my discovery one sunny day on the first floor of the castle. I'd been walking around through the tunnels. The first floor had the highest ceiling, making turn after turn when I walked into a clearing in the structure. The area was enclosed within the castle, but the sun was shining down on the ground into the pit of sorts. The pit had stairs down to its wood chip floor and benches on either side. On the benches were two girls, both staring at me in disbelief. They both looked older than me, maybe like 13 or 14.
"How did you find this place?"
the closest girl asked. I explained I'd just been wandering around and found it randomly. She explained back that I wasn't supposed to be able to find the pit. Her dad built this place and had made the area special for her. She made me pinky swear, a novel idea to me at the time, to never tell anyone about it, and then she asked me to leave. I complied, figuring that I could easily find my way back. I ran out of the castle to find my mom and tell her what had happened. Pinky swear be damned. We went back and tried to find it. Blanketing the whole first floor, nothing, no trace. The pit just disappeared. I've asked friends of mine who used to frequent the place, and they've never seen an area like I described. I've been back there quite a few times since to look for it, and not once have I been able to find the pit. It's by far my most perplexing memory of childhood. The place is now shut down for renovations, but here's a pic of what it looked like when I knew it. And he posted a pic. 10-year-old me met the architect's kid hanging out in a playground near my house. Edit. Some people in the thread, myself included, have theorized this might have been a dream I remembered as an actual event. Well, I've recently confirmed the story to my mom, and she recalls me running up to her and describing what happened, so I can at least establish that this wasn't a dream. P.S. I'm from Pennsylvania.
Weird, man.
Oh, and then somebody did post, the park is in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. It was a community-funded project and built in 12 days by volunteers. The park was designed by Robert Leathers.
That's weird, man.
That is weird.
I wonder if Robert Leathers is friends with, like, Frederick Wool and, you know, Finkel von Gottenstein. Yeah, no, that, like, all of these, man, it's just that strange stuff. I mean, usually whenever I've come across sort of the quote-unquote glitch in the Matrix stuff, it's typically, like, a very blurry video on a, you know, a used-to-be TikTok, but now it's a Instagram reel or whatever. And it's just kind of like, I don't know if I, you know. And then sometimes there's like photographic evidence that there's glitches in the Matrix. And it's like two people that are dressed kind of the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
These kind of things, though, fascinate me more. Even though, yes, of course, like we said, they can be just complete fiction. You know, the probability of it is some of them are and some of them aren't, though, right?
Yeah.
You know, something that you said earlier, you were talking about knowledge and whether or not, like, just because you don't know something.
You don't know.
No. Just because you don't know something, you know, a lot of people can get frustrated with that and stuff. But it just so happens, man, synchronicity. I have been reading the third Dune book, Children of Dune. I'm almost done with it.
Cool.
And there is this quote, a series of quotes about knowledge specifically that I thought, holy smokes, this is amazing. So one of them is, to know a thing well, know its limits. Only when pushed beyond its tolerance will true nature be seen. And another one is, knowing is a barrier which prevents learning. And then this one, cool. This one's pretty powerful too. To claim absolute knowledge is to become monstrous. Knowledge is an unending adventure at the edge of uncertainty. So we all come across those folks that just are so definitive in their quote-unquote knowledge, right? I think when we had Bryce on, I don't remember if it made it on the actual episode, but I remember something that he said was like, you know, people that we were talking about how, like, even within, like, the cryptid community and the paranormal, you sometimes run into folks who are very sort of concrete in their thinking, which ironically has always been humorous to me, because it's like, well, okay, we're talking about stuff that it's all theories, you know? So, like, calm it down. But he'd also agreed that, like, anybody that sort of approaches a situation and claims to know the definitive answer is probably full of, you know what? And anyway, that just all kind of reminds me and kind of to me relates to all of this, which is, you know, forget about whether or not it is real or fake or fiction. The fact that any of these scenarios could potentially happen is just so fascinating, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think, too, the interesting thing is, you know, and again, I'm sure there's some either embellishments or sort of others that are written as, like, kind of more creepypasta. But the thing that is interesting about looking at these as a whole, like, because, I mean, there's like hundreds, if not thousands, of these stories. The thing that I think is really interesting is that there's so many that are just these, like, little tiny, like, just a little paragraph. And it has to do with, like, really mundane things. Like, you know, there's one where a girl and her boyfriend have the exact same Jeep, right? They have, like, matching Jeeps when they met. And one day she wakes up and now her keychain is, like, gray instead of black. And, you know, that's not anything crazy. That's not, like, you know, there's nothing to write, like, a creepypasta about. There's no, it just doesn't make any sense for her to just make that up. And there's so many of these that just are just like these weird little things that are happening within our dimension. And I mean, you know, that's kind of where I believe that I think the Mandela effect plays into this. And I think...
And if you're unfamiliar with the Mandela effect, you can hear more about it on our episode here.
Hear more about the Mandela effect on That Would Be Rad, Season 1, Episode 26, the Mega Mandela Effect episode.
Yeah, I think that it's these things are just like changing. And it is weird because... I have noticed that like younger kids or younger folks, a lot of them don't really notice anything different. Like to them, a lot of these things that we're just like, what? We're just like flipping out about, you know, like all these things that are just like completely changed now. They've always been like that for them. So I wonder if like what that component is, you know what I mean?
Yeah. There's like a, what would you call that? Like a, not an end point, but like a, whatever that point is in that timeline.
Like a singularity point or whatever kind of thing?
Something like that. Yeah, where their reality. Well,
they believe that it happened in like, a lot of people believe that.
Here we go with the lecture about CERN.
Well, I mean, that is, the CERN thing is wild. But they do believe that like 2012 was a pretty pivotal year that all of this stuff started happening. And it is interesting because 2012 was also the Mayan calendar thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it talks about like the end of an old age and the beginning of a new age.
Dude,
and like the,
let me throw something at you real quick.
Give it
what
to
if
me, Gina.
All of us right now, you mm-hmm. folks listening to this, you, Tyler, me, everyone in this reality that we all know, what if we represent the timeline where that didn't happen? And so like our consciousness, because it existed in the area where before that event, we have memories of like things that are different. But then once that thing happened, our consciousness, we are in this new reality since then, but you know, the other reality ended because of the end of the world event that the Mayans were talking about. We're just like one of the other threads that is going, one of the other possibilities.
Right.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
That's interesting.
It's just intense, dude. I need like a bowl of Campbell's soup or something. I mean, like this is just, it makes me dizzy, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we hope that it also made you dizzy. And if you would like to find us, you can over on Instagram. Drop us a line. Tell us your own, you know, story of your own glitch in the Matrix or your own story of possible time travel, possible dimension jumping. Maybe you were out using the Randonautica app and it changed your reality. Who knows? We'd love to hear it, though. Drop us a DM. If it's more long form, feel free to shoot it to thatwouldberadpod@gmail.com. Even better, we would love to hear it in your own beautiful voice. Leave that over on thatwouldberadpodcast.com, our website, where you can leave your own personal message and it may make it into a future episode. You can listen to the show there, past episodes, all the good things. Buy us a coffee, do some merch. The best thing you can do if you want to support the show and it means the world to us is head on over to Patreon and jump on our Patreon, The Rabbit Trail. It's more of what you love. Maybe a little looser, maybe a little goosier, and we'd love to have you over there. It's really cool, and I mean, if we're being honest, I feel like all of our episodes are just pretty chill, because at the end of the day, it's two best friends talking, but over there, it's even more loose, so it's more of what you love, and if you're not getting enough over here, head over there. I guess that's about it. What, do you got anything else?
I think that's it, man.
All right, pal. Well, we love you. We appreciate you. And as always,
be rad.
That's the way it goes. My favorite song on the radio. The song.
clouds in a time where I just needed some sunshine. You were already dead before you became a ghost. You always said our future would be a parade of flowers, but now all that's left is a single rose. That's the way it goes.
Granted.
Christopher Nolan. Jesus. Christopher Nolan.
But as I got closer to this man, he was heading down the creek. He was heading down to the creek. I was heading up to the... This is weird. I woke up in L.A.
So good to read.
I woke up in La Junta, Colorado. Let me have that again. I woke up in La Junta, Colorado. And she had definitely been... She had definitely been sat there all day.
And she had so definitely British, man.
Okay. I know.
She's and she definitely had been sat there all day.
Okay, well, you've got to do the intro, so waiting on you, pal.
Well, I was asking if I should start, okay?
Game master.
God.